If you turn to Luke chapter 9, we'll have a look at God's Word. And I'll pray first and ask for God's blessing to be upon us. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for this day. We thank you for Andrew and Shelley and for their good news of that birth, and we commit them to you. Pray that you would help them as, Lord, it's their first child, and you help them to get adjusted. And Lord, we thank you that we can remember in that name Brian, and we know that he's in glory with you now. And Father, we praise you for that and the hope that we'll see him again. And Lord, we sadden that he's not able to see this grandchild, but Lord, we do pray that this young one will grow up and receive Jesus Christ as his personal Saviour. Lord, one day Brian will get to meet him that way. And so we commit them to you. We commit this night to you as we consider the words of the Lord Jesus, that, Father, you would speak to our hearts. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been looking at the time when Jesus sent out his disciples for the very first time. And what we have seen so far is the commission, and that is Jesus said they were to preach, to teach, to heal, and also to trust him for everything. Then we saw the coming home, and we saw how Jesus asked his disciples, what are people saying about me, and who do they think I am? And then he asked them specifically, well, who do you think I am? And they testified they believed that he was the Messiah. Upon hearing that, he straightly commanded them not to go and tell anyone this, which seems a bit of a strange thing. But as I said, I believe that is because Jesus didn't want people to know that he was the Messiah by this time, because if they had heard that, they would have believed or thought, yes, he's going to be the king and set up his kingdom, and they'd be waiting for him to do that, just like the disciples were. But the focus of Jesus had changed at that point, and he wasn't going to go to the throne, but he was going to go to the cross first and die for mankind. And so he tells them that this is what's going to happen. And so we look there in Luke chapter 9 and verses 21 and 22 this. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And so Jesus was heading to the cross, not the throne. And so to follow him was not going to be easy. It would be very easy to follow someone that's going to destroy all your enemies and go and sit on the throne and reign. That would have been exciting. Much harder to follow someone who is going to be taken by your enemies and crucified and died. And so, no doubt, there was some rethinking that was required. And I believe it's for this reason that Jesus goes on to tell his disciples the consecration that was going to be required if they wanted to follow him from this point onwards. And so, that's what we're going to be looking at this evening. We've seen the commission, the coming home, and now we're looking at the consecration. And I might add that what Jesus says here is for all of us, not just the ones he was speaking to then. You call yourself a disciple of the Lord Jesus, you want to be a true disciple of the Lord Jesus, well, understand this is for you as well. So let's see what Jesus says as we go on and we look at verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man, we'll leave it there for starters, if any man. Now, you'll notice in your King James Version that the word man is in italics, and that is because in the original it's not there. Now, there are reasons for that that I won't go into, but in the original it says, if any. Now, there are three things I take from that straight away. If any, means it's not just men. This applies to women as well. So if you're a lady here or a girl, it applies to you, what he's about to say. Also, he says, by saying, if any, then we see here that any can follow. What he's about to say isn't just for an elite group, maybe just white people, so to speak, or handsome people, or intelligent people, or whatever it may be, but this is for any who want to follow. The calling to follow the Lord Jesus is given to all. But if we study how this is phrased, really, it also shows us that there is an expectation from Jesus if we want to follow him. That's what he's really getting at. Don't think that what Jesus is about to say is simply for the 12, or maybe pastors and deacons as well, but if I'm not one of them, it's okay. I don't have to do what Jesus says here. No, he says, if any. If you're thinking of doing this, if you're thinking of following him, then this is the expectation that he has upon you as well. And so keep that in mind as we look at these things. He goes on to say, if any man will come after me. Let's focus on that word will. That simply means desire. If anyone desires to come after me. And I think it's significant to remember that it is a choice that the Lord Jesus wants each person to make. There have been dictators before Jesus and after Jesus who made people follow them, and they threatened them if they didn't. Yet Jesus never threatens people. Jesus never demands or makes people follow them. He wants it to come from a desire of our own heart. If any man desires, that's good to remember. Especially when you know the truth and you see someone that needs to know the truth and you know this is the best thing for them, there's a fine line sometimes between trying to encourage them earnestly and trying to force them to do something. We can fall into that trap with our children in particular. We want them to get saved. We want them to follow the Lord. But sometimes we can overcook it, so to speak, where they feel forced or manipulated to follow Jesus. Let's make sure it's of their will, because that's the type of followers that Jesus is looking for. People that have a genuine desire to do so. But Jesus lets us know that even though it may be our own choice, there are expectations from him. That's the key. I want you to follow of your own choice, but if you choose, there are expectations that I have upon you. And he goes on to tell his disciples three things. And these three things are in what we call the imperative. And so they are commandments. These aren't helpful hints. They aren't suggestions that we can take or leave. No, these are commandments. We can't just choose to follow the Lord Jesus, but then we choose to do it on our own terms. Oh, Jesus, yes, I will follow you. But these are my terms for following you. No, Jesus says, if you make that decision to follow me, then he says, wonderful. Now, these are my terms if you want to follow. And two of the things that he says, he wants us to be doing daily. And we see that these two things are to deny ourselves and to take up our cross. Let's have a look at these for a moment. Let's just draw them out a little bit. We see here that Jesus says, I want you to deny yourself. Luke 9:23, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. And it goes on to say, and to take up his cross and follow me, or daily, he mentions there. And so the first thing is to deny oneself. This word deny has two ideas to it. There is the idea of disregarding someone or something, where you don't consider it very special. All right, so there's that idea. And then there's the other idea of disowning something or moving away from something. You know, when Jesus told Peter that you'll deny me three times, that's the same Greek word that's used there. You know, we're told when it comes to Peter, it says in Luke 22:54, then took they him and led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off. That was one way he denied the Lord Jesus. He followed afar off. In days previous to this, he was more than happy being right beside the Lord Jesus. I'm one of yours. I'm your follower. But now, you can go way out there somewhere. He followed afar off. There was that separation or disowning. And then we know, it says later on in chapter 22, verse 57, and he denied him, saying, woman, I know him not. And so he says, I don't even know the guy. And so there is that concept of denying. And so Peter denied the Lord Jesus. He got it very wrong. Because Jesus says not to deny him. He doesn't say, I want you to deny other people. He says, I want you to deny yourself. Now that's a concept that we struggle with, isn't it? Because we are by nature selfish. We don't want to deny ourselves of anything. If there's something good out there, we think we should be able to get it. But it says we are to deny ourselves. You know, there's a saying, you need to look out for number one. And you know, that is very true. We should look out for number one. But as a Christian, number one is the Lord Jesus, not ourselves. And so, yes, we should be looking out for number one, who should be the Lord Jesus Christ. And what should we be doing about ourselves? He says, deny yourself. Distance yourself from your own wishes that are contrary to the Lord Jesus's. Distance yourself from your own will and desires and pleasures and care about Jesus and what he wants. And he says, I want you to do this on a daily basis. You might find someone who says, oh yes, I have come to that point of self-denial. I did that 15 years ago. Well, that's fantastic. But what about every day since then? Because it's a daily thing. And the self-denial that we may have shown yesterday means nothing today. It's a daily thing that we need to be doing. And I'm sure you're the same as me, and you understand that every day you come up against circumstances where you have to choose between self or obedience to Christ. Have you come up against that today? Where there's something where you know this is what I want to do, yet I know this is what Jesus wants me to do. Well, what did you do today? Did you deny yourself and do what Christ wanted, or did you not deny yourself? Well, this is an expectation that Jesus has of us, denying self daily. That's the first thing. The next one, next daily task, is to take up our cross. Now, thankfully, this isn't a literal cross. Otherwise, it'd be really awkward. I was having these pictures of people driving up in cars with wooden crosses. All right? That would change the whole concept of a car if we had to carry a cross and what we would do. I'm surprised there aren't churches who do this. You know how you get really crazy people that want to do crazy things, like that they bring a cross, carry a cross, and they have cross stands or something, you know. I'm sure there's a place in America like that somewhere, you know. But thankfully, it's not a literal one. I know some people like to wear a cross around their neck. Maybe it's so they can sort of carry a cross in this way. What I have noticed is a lot of people that do carry a cross, particularly of the Catholic version, that might be about the only denying of self that they do in terms of carrying a cross. And they certainly don't do what Jesus is expecting of one who carries a cross in the manner that he was meaning. I trust we all understand that the cross in Christ's day was an instrument of death. People carried the cross to the place of execution, and then they died upon that thing. And that is what Jesus is really talking about here. He wants death to be involved daily. Thankfully, not of a literal sense, but of a spiritual sense, or a dying of self. I want you to die to yourself every day. And so it's really an expansion. These two phrases are very similar, really, but one is even heavier than the other. I want you to not deny yourself, but even further than that, I want you to die to self daily. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:31, I die daily. That's what he was talking about there. I die to myself on a daily basis. That is the need that we need to have. And I suspect you're just like me. You know the days when you leave the cross at home, so to speak. And you're very much alive. Self is very much alive. It's very evident in the words you speak and the way you speak. It's very evident in the actions and your thoughts that self is very much alive instead of being dead. But this is what Jesus wants. It's an expectation. As in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. That is the same concept that he's talking about there, being a living sacrifice. Can I ask you, what type of sacrifice have you been this week? When the Lord sees it, is it one that has been dead to self or very much alive? You know, when it talks about this in Romans, it has that picture of the sacrifices in the Old Testament when someone would bring a lamb or some sort of animal and offer it up as a way of worshipping God. And that's how we're meant to be. Could you imagine, though, in those days when someone brings along a lamb and the priest takes it and then he looks down and he sees that it's missing its back leg. And the priest goes, oh, where's the leg? The left leg. I thought I'd just keep that for myself. You know? Could you imagine what God would have thought or what he would have done if someone actually tried to do that? I'll just give you everything but the leg. Yet how often do we foolishly think as Christians that it's okay for us to do a similar thing with ourselves, with our bodies? Lord, I will follow you. I will be your disciple. I'll take up my cross and I'll live for you and I'll do everything you want except just this thing over here. We've all done it. You can have my feet, Lord. I'll go wherever you want me to go. You can have my hands. I'll serve you in any way you want. You can have my mouth and I'll say what you want me to say. But my eyes, I'm keeping them for myself. I'll look at whatever I want to look at. Oh, by the way, I think I'll keep my ears too so I can listen to whatever I want to listen to as well. Or whatever it may be that you find hard to surrender. I wonder if we could get a visual picture of what our bodily sacrifice is really like. Would we see parts missing? Is that how God sees it? I wonder if he sees a few eyes missing from people. or a mouth, or some ears, some feet, a mind, whatever it may be. Well, Jesus says, I want you to take your body and die to self every day if you want to be a true disciple of mine. So that's pretty tough, pretty hard, very serious. I think it makes a mockery of what some people say they are, as what they see what's required as a disciple of the Lord Jesus, where it's on my terms rather than his. Now he goes on to say in verse 23, the end, I'll read the whole verse, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. That phrase, follow me, is a little bit different to the other two. It's still a commandment, but it's in the present continuous tense, which shows us that when it comes to following the Lord Jesus, he wants it to be an ongoing thing that becomes a part of your character and it never stops. And so we know that a part of our character is we eat. All right? If I came to you and asked, are you someone that regularly eats? I'll guarantee you say yes. All right? Because if you say, no, I haven't eaten for years, all right? I know you're lying because you'd be dead. All right? Eating should be a part of our character. It's just what we do. Well, what we do, when it should also be that we follow the Lord Jesus. And that word follow has the idea of accompanying and also imitating. I think what happens is as you accompany, you begin to imitate. You know, like when it says, I'm sure Andrew, for example, will say, I hope my son will follow in my footsteps. Now, that doesn't mean exactly, but he trusts he will follow his ways and act like him and be like him in all the good ways. I'm sure there might be a few things he won't mind if he doesn't, like every father. But there is that thing of following and imitating. And that's what Jesus wants us to be doing, and he doesn't want it to ever stop. We stop eating, we slowly get sick, we slowly die. If we stop following, we slowly get spiritually sick and we slowly die. That fellowship, I think we all know what those things involve. Where it comes that time of fellowship in the Word, fellowship in meditating on God's Word, in praying, in hearing His Word preached, in enjoying the fellowship of fellow brothers and sisters where Christ dwells, and following the Lord Jesus. You know, in the days of Christ when they got to follow him literally, we know that there were all different types of disciples and they followed all differently. There were some like Peter who would be right up beside Jesus, gnawing away at his ear and wanting to talk to him all the time. There were some, I suspect, I sort of get the picture of Judas, especially when he's starting to have those evil thoughts. I think I'll just sort of stand at the back of the pack. I don't want to get too close because I feel very guilty now. And then we know that there were many that stopped following. What sort of disciple are you? Close to the Lord? In sweet fellowship? Or he's out there at a distance, but you know that you've been dropping off? Or maybe you've stopped altogether. The fact that you're here is a good chance that you haven't stopped. But we know of many that have. You know, Jesus goes on to give a rather sobering warning at this time when he gives the expectations that he has upon those who want to follow him. It says there in verse 26, for whosoever shall be ashamed of me and my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. You know, that word ashamed means disgraced. or shameful. You know, I can't think of anything sadder than that. Knowing you're a Christian, yet you didn't follow the Lord the way that you should. Slackened off, there was a distance, you grew cold, hard, and then the King of Kings returns. Or you see him in heaven. And instead of getting that, well done, thou good and faithful servant, there is a look of shame on the Lord Jesus. Now, I don't know how that all works when we stand in the righteousness of Christ. But I certainly know I don't want to see that. But I also know that I'm not exempt from the expectations that Jesus has on all disciples. And if I want to hear that, well done, thou good and faithful servant, and not have to see that shame, well then I know that I need to deny myself daily. I need to die to self daily, and I need to always follow the Lord closely in fellowship with him. How's your walk at the moment? Are you following or are you far off? I trust you're nice and close. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words of warning, but also expectations from our Saviour. Lord, we are easily distracted. We're easily put off the course. So quickly follow other things rather than our Saviour. I do pray that, Lord, you may help us to have that fresh look upon him and that desire to follow him closely. And I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.